Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm John Gentry, and it's certainly my pleasure to welcome you and to invite and welcome any visitors that we have here this morning. We ask you that if you are a visitor, to just please fill out on the registration pad there at the end of the pew and just give us some information if you wish. And again, we appreciate you coming. I've got a handful of announcements here. First of all, there will be a church council meeting this Tuesday at 6 p.m. in the warehouse. Senior game day will be held this Thursday, the 21st, at 10:30 in the warehouse. Next Sunday is Senior Sunday for our graduating seniors. Amy Bennett, our youth minister, has placed journals in the Wilson Activity Center for you to write an encouraging word to them. So please do and give them your support. One other announcement. Mrs. Lou Teeter announced today that the tab collection was 130 pounds. that equals $52. So this is enough for one family to stay one night at the Ronald McDonald House. So just keep those tabs coming. So with that, I invite you to pass the peace of Christ. Please stand for the call of worship. There is one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all. Children of God, come walk in the way of the Lord with songs of gladness and joy. The Lord is near you all. Call upon him to all who call upon him in truth. Please remain standing for the hymn of praise, My Hope is Built, 368. Please remain standing for our affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried the third day, rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From thence he came quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We ask this morning that you keep those in the prayer list in the bulletin in your prayers. Also, this morning, Paula Clark's husband, Fred, passed away. So you please keep them in your thoughts and prayers. Let us pray. Holy Lord, when we look at the news many times, it is easy to feel hopeless. The more bad news we witness, the easier it feels to just resign that it's how it must be. We say to ourselves that we will never change, that we will always be pain, suffering, war, greed, and chaos. Help remind us, God, that you are the one who creates order out of chaos and calls it good, the one who takes broken people and molds them into agents of change, the one who cast our fear and hatred with love. Lead us to maintain our faith and hope in you, that no matter how grim it may seem or how filled with despair our hearts may be, you are the God who defeats death and sin, liberates us, and gives us resurrected life and power in your name. Our joy is found in you. Our freedom is found in you. Aid us, God, to use the light you shine for our path to help spread the light to others. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. right, if all my friends will come forward. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are we this morning? Good. Okay, that was only two out of all of y'all. How are y'all this morning?
Good.
Good. I'm so amazing. I'm so glad to hear that. All right, so I have a couple of things this morning. No. Okay, we have a basketball. Right, what do you do with the basketball? You dribble it, shoot, etc. Okay. Okay, what do you do with the soccer ball? Kick it. You dribble it, you kick it, and you shoot.
In the goal.
In the goal. Very good. So if I take the basketball, and let's say I bounce it on this floor, what will happen? It will come back up, right? What about a soccer ball? I bounce it, and what happens? It goes thump, right?
Sometimes
it does. But it doesn't probably bounce as high as a basketball, right? True? Okay. So, well, today, the reason why I brought both of these is because it made me kind of think about who we are. A basketball, you know, there's sometimes when we're happy and things are going well and everything is, you know, just great. You did great on a test. You're getting along with your siblings, etc. And you bounce back and you're happy, right? You're up. You're high. And then there's days that you didn't do well on your test. You're just fighting with your family. It may be that you woke up on the wrong side of the bed and you're down, like the soccer ball, right? Well, we want our days to be where we're always up, right? And who helps us do that? God does. God does. That's right. God is the person that gives us the strength to be up high, to not be down low, but to be up high. So I want you to remember that because we're getting to the end of school, right? You have six more months, right?
No.
Oh, no. Four.
No.
Two. Oh, two? 1.5. And so, you know, for those times, I want you to think about how you're constantly going to be high. Because there are going to be days when you're going to have tests that you don't want to take, that you didn't do well on. But remember, God's going to be that person that is going to make you high and is going to make you happy. So, all right, Miss Erin's going to pray for us this morning.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us the right stuff to bounce back. And we promise that the next time we are feeling down, that we will remember your gift and wait to us and use it to get ourselves back up when we should be. Thank you, God, for filling us with the right stuff. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Next Sunday is Stone Soup Mission, where our church will help to serve a hot meal to our homeless brothers and sisters and be fellowship with them. It is at the Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church at 16th and Louisiana. And you're encouraged to arrive at 1 p.m. for information. Call Greg Stansel. Let us pray. Gracious God, you've shown us what true giving looks like. It is heartfelt and sacrificial. Help us to lead lives that follow that example in every aspect of our lives. May our gifts we give back to you be a means to bring your love to others. Amen. Please remain standing for a hymn of meditation in the garden on page 314.
Good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bibles with you today, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 10 through 18. And if you're using the Pew Bible, you can turn to page 898. Let the word of God fall fresh and anew on our hearts and our minds today. In Ephesians, we find, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As many of you know, I'm in the National Guard. As in the civilian world, in the military, we take so many things for granted. As an example, when we get handed our weapons, we just take for granted that they're real. They're not like the guns that are bought in the toy stores that have the little orange piece on the end of the barrel letting everybody know that it's a toy. If I were handed my weapon and went off into combat, a little orange piece on the end of my barrel would not be a good thing because it would let the enemy know. But what that little orange piece is on the end of the toy guns is nothing more than the manufacturer's release of liability, or if you will, a disclaimer letting everyone know that that is a toy. But if you think about it, we're surrounded by disclaimers in our everyday lives. Now, here's the following, and I'll say it a little slower, not like you hear on the radio. The following message may not reflect the views and opinions of the pastoral staff at Asbury United Methodist Church, and therefore they cannot be held liable for its contents. Here's another. When's the last time that you opened a new box of cereal, only to find it about two-thirds full? But then if you turn it to the side, you'll read some settling of contents may have occurred during shipping and handling. Or if you go to buy a new car that's been advertised in the newspaper, only to read the fine print and find out that that great deal only applies to a couple of stock-numbered vehicles. And here's one other. There's a man on the West Coast that is suing Starbucks because his venti, or his large latte, was only 3/4 full, not completely full as was implied by the pictures on the menus in the store. We take so many things for granted in our lives, but let me ask you a question. Is the Bible real? Or are there some verses that have been embellished to make it more dramatic or more readable? Does it have some disclaimers within its pages? Now, before you storm the pulpit, I know I may have struck a nerve with that question because we cherish our Bibles. The reason this message has been weighing on my heart is some time ago, a friend of mine who I admire greatly and who is a Christian made the statement, well, the Bible's not completely true. It had some additions to it to make it more dramatic and readable. Now, considering my friend, who normally throws out comments just for argument's sake, kind of have to laugh about it, but it did sink deep inside. And I thought, what if some people really believe that? This morning's message is going to be a few minutes longer than normal, but I promise you, hang with me, and I promise not to go too long. Another disclaimer. I'll ask you to turn to a few scriptures and dig into God's Word with me, and I'll even give you the page number of the Pew Bible to kind of speed things up. Our scripture readings this morning indicate that this, the Bible, is our weapon against the schemes of the enemy, and I believe it is no toy. I hope that this message is not too academic, as in Bible 101. But I believe that if we're going to attempt to prove its realness and its authenticity, we're going to have to go to the source. Before we begin, let me say that I know I am preaching to the choir here this morning. Nonetheless, let's review what the Bible is not. First, the Bible is very philosophical, but it is not a philosophy book. The Bible contains proven historical facts and events, but it is not a history book. It contains laws under which the nation of Israel was to live, but it is not a law book. It contains scientific facts as proven by the leaders in the scientific field, but it is not a science book. The Bible is a book given to man from God, revealing his Son, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the Son of Man. John's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says, Jesus answered them, saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Christ is the center and the circumstance throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. John wrote in chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, these words from Jesus to the Jews who were persecuting him. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Meaning that Jesus is the way to have eternal life, and he reveals that to us through the urging of the Holy Spirit, and through God's Word. My first point, in proving this argument this morning is that the Bible claims to be the inspired Word of God. First, turn to page 915 if you've got the Pew Bible, and you're going to find 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, excuse me. You'll find all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is therefore the inspired Word of God. Now, by inspiration, it means that the Holy Spirit exerted His supernatural influence on the writers of the Bible. The writings were inspired, not necessarily the writers. The Bible nowhere claims to have been written by inspired men. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. 2 Peter 1:21 says, For prophecy never had its origins in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. To further this point, Jesus told his disciples he would leave many things unrevealed and would choose certain men and women, make sure Pastor Mary gets that on tape, and women that through them reveal his perfect will. John 16:12-15 says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. With these scriptures, we have seen that all scripture comes from the inspiration of God through the Holy Spirit. And B, man is the instrument used by the Holy Spirit to write the Bible. And if A and B are true, then C has to be true. The results are the Bible is the infallible Word of God who is perfect. Therefore, the Bible, His Word, is perfect and free from error and absolutely trustworthy. Psalms 119:89 says, Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. My second point to this argument is that the Bible is not an easy book to read. The fact is, it's a very difficult book. The second scripture that I'm going to ask you to turn to is in the Pew Bible on pages 871, page 871, in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. God is infinite. Man is finite. It is hard to understand with our finite minds the things that come from the infinite mind of God. You cannot understand the Bible as you would understand the writings of, let's say, Plato or Socrates. Their writings can be read with the natural mind, and with study, grasp their meaning, because they were authored by finite men. If we could grasp the full meaning of the Bible, it would be a natural book and not the Word of God. Because the Bible is from God and therefore spiritual, before you can receive and attempt to understand its teachings, you must be born again. It's that simple. Your spirit must be quickened. Remember the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus? John 3:5-6 records Jesus' answer to Nicodemus in saying, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You see, a non-believer can pick up the Bible and can read about history, philosophy, the law, and even future events. But it is only the Holy Spirit to our quickened spirits can we receive the teachings God has for us through His Spirit. Thirdly, I ask you to turn to page 938. 938. We're going to find in 2 Peter 1:21, as I referenced earlier, the prophecy, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. My next point is that the Bible is a book of oneness, or a book of unity. Now, this unity is an absolute, profound miracle. One of my favorite books in the Bible is the book of Numbers. As a statistician, I enjoy that book, and I get kind of excited about numbers anyway. So the following kind of gets my flame going. The Bible is a library of 66 books written by over 35 authors. Those authors were men and women who were shepherds, kings, prophets, fishermen, noblemen, tax collectors, physicians, as well as other trades. These writings cover such subjects as religion, law, science, poetry, drama, biography, and prophecy. These writings were penned, or they were written, over a period of approximately 1,500 years. Now, statistically speaking, for 35 authors with such varied backgrounds to write on so many subjects over a period of approximately 1,500 years, in absolute harmony, is a statistical impossibility. Notice I didn't say improbability. I said impossibility. You see, as a statistician, I can calculate the probability or the chances of you going and winning the lottery every week for the rest of your life. And since it is a calculable possibility, a calculable number, it is possible. But for all of these writers to agree on a central theme over a period of 1,500 years in perfect harmony is an absolute impossibility. So, how do we account for the Bible? It's simple. The only adequate explanation is this. As we just read, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Bible is no ordinary book, and I think you have to agree with me at this point, assuming that some of you weren't on board with me to begin with. Turn to page 922 in the Pew Bible, and we're going to read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4:12. We're going to see how the Bible claims to have phenomenal power and healing power. We read in verse 12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The Bible claims to have dividing power, such as a sword, as we just read. What the Bible is saying with this is that it, the Bible, will separate men and women from sin. Psalms 119:11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Either the Bible will divide us or separate us from sin, or the opposite is true. Sin will separate us from the Bible. Isaiah 59:2 says, "But your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." The Bible also has reflecting power as a mirror. James 1:22 through 25 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, that being the Bible, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. In the Bible, we see ourselves as God sees us, as sinners. Romans 3:23 says, and we all know this by heart, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible also claims to have cleansing power. Ephesians 5:26 says, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. David prayed that God would wash him from iniquity and cleanse him from sin in Psalms 51:2. The Bible is then the perfect spirit cleanser. The Bible also has reproductive power as in seed, or as I like to think of it, as adoptive power. We are the children of God because we have been reborn into his family. This is the new birth that John talks about in John 3, verses 1 through 7, where Jesus tells Nicodemus that no man can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Finally, on this point, the Bible claims to have nourishing power as food. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk that you may grow up in your salvation. The Bible is spiritual food for the soul. No Christian can remain strong in the Lord and not study the Word of God. Strength comes from consuming the Word. My final point is this. The Bible commands the believer to study the Scriptures. The last Scripture I'll ask you to turn to is on page 915 in the Pew Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. This verse is simple to understand, ladies and gentlemen. We need to study the word of God so as to meet with God's approval. This isn't a hint or a suggestion. It's a command. As we study the Bible, we discover that it does not just contain the word of God. It is the Word of God. We also need to keep in mind that the Bible contains the words of God as well as the words of Satan, demons, angels, and man, both good and bad. God is truth and cannot lie. Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Man is natural and therefore limited, and does not always speak the truth. As we study the Bible, we need to ask ourselves three questions. Number one, who is speaking? God, demons, or man? Number two, to whom is he speaking? To the nation of Israel? To the Gentiles? To the church? To men and women in general? Or to some individual or being? And three, how can this scripture be applied to my own life to make me a better Christian? Or as the scripture we just read says, to meet with God's approval. In conclusion, what we have done here in this short time this morning is prove that the Bible is the inspired word of God, written by men who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not a book that can be understood by the natural man, but only by the person with a quickened spirit. The Bible is a book of oneness, perfection, and agreement, being written over such a long time period by men and women who were the instruments of the Holy Spirit. The Bible has special healing and health-giving power. And finally, the Bible contains the command from God for us to study his word. How better for us in the spirit to come to know the Father who is spirit. The Bible is a spiritual book inspired from the spirit to our spirits so we can have a wonderful relationship with God the Father because of what the Son did for us on Calvary. And through the Holy Spirit, know who we are in the family of God. Know this, your sword is real, and it's not a toy. It is alive, and it is not dead. It is sharp, and it can cut, and is given to us from the Father. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of commitment is number 580, Lead On, O Eternal King. If you would like to come forward and pray, the prayer rail is always open for you to talk and seek God's will. If you'd like to join this church by way of confession of your faith or transfer a letter, now is the time to come forward. Or if you'd like to come forward to know about this God of grace that we've been talking about, come forward. There will be leaders in this church or myself that can talk with you and answer your questions. So let us be standing and singing hymn number 580. Bow with me, please, and receive this blessing. Father, please remind us that your word is living and it is the most fantastic book ever printed. Father, help us to remember to carry it with us that we may know your word and can spread it throughout the world. In Jesus' name, amen.